We continue our learning Leili Nimish, Nishmas Davi Ben Menachem, Nushem Chaim Yaakov, Pinchas Aliyah. We are in Rosh Hashanah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Hei. Chatzer Gedola Haisar B'Yushalayim, U'Beis Yazek Haisar Nikres. There was a large courtyard in Yushalayim. It was called Beis Yazek. U'Lashom Kala Edim Iskansim. That's where all of the witnesses would gather. They would gather there, according to Rashi, they'd gather there only when it was Shabbos. When we'll see there were limits on how far they were able to walk since they had left their tchum. And others say, no, they would always gather there. Ubeis din botkin osam sham. Beis din would interrogate them, would ask their questions there about how they saw the new moon. Usuudos gedolos osin lahem mishvil shalu yirigilim lavo. And they would make large meals, large feasts, so that people would be accustomed to come. If people came and they saw all of the dozens and dozens of witnesses, they realized, you know, we didn't really need to travel so far. So at least we're not going to come the next time, figuring that other people are going to arrive. So here we have feasts, so at least they get a good meal, and there's an incentive maybe to come the next time. Barishona lo hayu zazin misham kalayom. The Mishnah says originally they would not move from that enclosed area that's Beis Yazek Chatzer all day. Why? Because it's a halacha based on the first mission of the fourth parak of Erevin. A person who left their tchum on Shabbos and now they find themselves in another place, they only have Dal and Amos in each direction. They're really stuck in that place. That's what the Mishnah says. So now, if you find yourself in an enclosed area, let's say this Chatzer, so then you have more than Dal and Amos but can only walk within that Chatzer. Also very limiting. So that was the original takana. According to Tosfos, it means Barishona Loa Yuzazan Misham. According to one opinion, it means that the Misham is referring to the whole city of Yerushalayim, that they were able to walk throughout the whole city, but not beyond. Hisken Ram Gamliel Hazakein. What are Ram Gamliel Hazakein Institute? Sheyumahalchin Alpayim Amalachal Ruach. That you can now walk 2,000 amos in each direction. And according to the first understanding, it means 2,000 amos from where you are, maybe 2,000 amos beyond that base Yazek Chatzer, so that at least you're able to walk a little bit more. And maybe this is because you really should have the status of the people of that city, or maybe because we don't want to discourage you from coming the next time when you realize you're kind of stuck in this small area. According to Tosis, it means that not only can you walk, not only can you traverse the entire city of Yerushalayim, but you can even go 2,000 amos beyond, which is what everyone in Yerushalayim is capable of doing. And Ram Gamliel Hazakin should not be confused with Ram Gamliel, who will learn later in Mishnah Ches. Ram Gamliel Hazakin was alive during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash. He was the Nasi Yerushalayim. His grandson, Ram Gamliel, who we know was a contemporary of Rabbi Eliezer, contemporary Rabbi Yeshua, who we'll discuss later in this parak. So that was Ram Gamliel, who was also a Nasi. He was a Nasi in Yavne and Usha when the Sanhedrin was exiled at the time of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Then Mishnah says, "Velo Elu Bilvad." Not only the Edim do we allow them to go 2,000 amos in each direction from where they are, but anyone who comes for a mitzvah, who leaves the tchum, who technically really should only have dal and amos in each direction, based on the Mishnah Erevin, here, in order to encourage them to come the next time as well to perform the mitzvah, we give them 2,000 amos in each direction. Who are these people? V'lo'el bovad, ela af ha'chacham abay li'aleid, a midwife who comes, who left her tchum in order to give birth to a child, in order to help deliver a child. V'habala hatzil min adaleika, someone who came to save people from a fire, and aga or from an attacking army, umenanar from a river that's flooding, let's say, umenamapolos or a collapsed building. Hareelu kanshioir, we give them the status of the people of the city. They can traverse the entire city and v'yeshlem al paim amalacharuach and have 2,000 amos in each direction. Perek Beis Mishnah Lav. Ketzad botkin esaidim. So how do we interrogate the witnesses? I'll take note of the fact that although there's a lie in Maseches Sanhedrin, when we bring in witnesses, there are questions that we try to intimidate them, what we call Iyum, Ma'aymin Esa'edim. Here, according to some, the reason the Mishnah doesn't mention it is because we don't try to interrogate the witnesses, at least to intimidate them. We have to ask them questions, but not to intimidate them because it's Kiddush HaChodesh has a different status of Eidus. So how would we do this? Zug Sheba Rishon, the first pair that came, first come, first serve. Abot Kinoso Rishon, so we check them first. Umachnisin Es HaGadol Sheba, and first you bring in the greater of the two Eidim. V'omilo, and we say to him like this. And they have to describe how they saw the Levana, the moon. Emor, Ketzad Risa Alavana, How do you see the moon? Lifnei hachama, literally, was it in front of the sun, facing the sun? Olach hachama, or away from the sun? Now, that's a question which the Mishnah is going to say it should be an obvious answer, and if he answers wrong, he's out. Why? Because if you think about the moon as a crescent, as a new moon, so if we view, let's say, the top and the bottom of that crescent as horns, Kronos. So we would say, well, were the horns of that crescent, were they pointing lifnei hachama, meaning were they pointing to the west towards the setting sun, or were they pointing east away from the setting sun? Now, the Mishnah is going to tell us that if you said lifnei hachama, those horns, the top and the bottom of the crescent, were facing towards the sun, so then we send them out. You're finished. Why? Because that's not true. We know that the moon is illuminated by the sun, and the sun is therefore facing the back of the moon, and the horns are facing away from the sun. So obviously the answer should be la'achar hachama, not lifnei hachama. Then we ask another question. Litzfona or lidroma? Was it to its north or to its south? Now the Gemara tells us that the answer depends on the time of year. We have Kiddush HaChodesh every month, so it all depends. In the winter, the moon is northeast of the sun, and in the summer it's southeast of the sun. So we have to ask that question: is it litzvona, towards the north, something we would expect in the winter months, or is it towards the south, something we expect in the summer months? And if you see this is not just witnesses contradicting each other. This is witnesses contradicting the reality. So that, of course, which is a fact. So that's something that we have to ask them as well. How high was it? Now, it doesn't mean that he has to know exactly. Bartanur says, according to, can you gauge, the perceived height of what is it, of what it is? So that's what we asked that, and Bartanur says, Gavar Shtei Kamos, one said Shalosh Kamos, that's like two stories high. The other said three stories high from the horizon. So we would say that is a Dusan Kayemis. But Echad Omer Shalosh Vechad Omer Chamesh says, the Bartanura, one says three, one says five, a Dusan Betelos. That's how we figure it out. How high was it from, obviously depends on what time, when the moon rises, so it's obviously closer to the horizon, not going to be that high above the horizon. Is it the size of a human being, the height of a tree? So we have to see if the testimony is correct, and in fact, the Aden themselves are consistent with one another. Then Ula'ayin Hayanote, in which direction were the horns of the moon crescent, were they pointing? So this is really coming just to elaborate upon the other questions. Meaning, we spoke about north of the sun, is it south of the sun? So then we need to know, depending on the month, where were the horns? In what direction were they pointing? Not only away from the sun, but in which direction were they pointing? That's also a question we ask. And of a kamahaya rachav, how wide was it? What does it mean? Is it the width of the crescent? Maybe it's the length of the crescent. And maybe Beistin is doing the following. We know that the moon, as it begins to rise, it's the closer it is to the horizon, the larger it is. So maybe the question, this question of how big it was, how wide it was, depends on Kamahaya Gavoa. The same. If there was, they say, oh, we saw the moon right near the horizon, but they say it was very, very small, so then it wasn't that wide. So maybe they're not telling the truth. Im Amar Lifnei Hachama Lo Amar Klum. So we said this before. If he said Lifnei Hachama, I saw the horns of the moon, they were in front facing the sun. Can't be. They have to be facing away from the sun. The sun has to be illuminating the backside of the moon. So then they bring in the second witness. If we say that their words are consistent, then their testimony is valid. What do you do with all of the other pairs of Edom who came? Obviously they're eating a little bit. And then what do? We don't ignore them. We ask them some basic main points, some basic questions. Not specific questions. Lo yishutzuichim lem. Not that I needed them. Elish kadesha lo yaitzu b'fachay nevesh. They don't leave depressed. They don't leave disappointed. Bishvil shuri regim lavo. So that in the future, hopefully they would still be accustomed to come and feel an incentive to come. We don't want them to leave depressed. So this way, we at least ask them a couple of basic questions.